Luke, we're going to be there in Luke 17, and as you turn there, as Pastor Bill was sharing a few weeks ago, I think it was Thanksgiving, the night of Thanksgiving this week, it seems like this year just went by so fast. I think faster than other years. The older I get, the faster they go. But I've been thinking, it's like maybe it's because, you know, the last 21 months that we've been dealing with this pandemic, you know, it just the days and the weeks just kind of blend into each other. And before you know it, the holidays are here. And as we come to another Thanksgiving season, you know, we have to understand that so many people have dealt with some pretty bad things over the last 21 months as a world. And it could be hard to find ways at times to be thankful. So I pray that the Lord guides my words and everything I say today. But we're going to be in Luke 17, and we're going to start in verse 11 here in a minute. But we're going to talk about a guy. We're going to talk about 10 guys, but we're going to talk about a specific one who was thankful. So if you're there, we're going to read verse 11. It says, "Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Verse 12. "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." Now, Jesus is going into Jerusalem, and he's going through Samaria. Now, for some of us that you don't know, Samaritans and Jewish people did not like each other at all. They were enemies. In fact, you remember the parable that Jesus gave of the Good Samaritan. He was bringing up a point. And also, John 4, there, the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. Remember, Jesus asked for water. She's like, "You, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water?" So there was a lot of anger towards both of them. And Jesus is going to an area that obviously he probably wouldn't be so welcomed. Now, as he's heading in there, it says that he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Now, leprosy, the disease of leprosy is gnarly, it's horrible. But lepers had to be away from people that were healthy. That they would. I'll read it to you. This is in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. Now it says, "Now the leper of whom the sore, his clothes shall be, of whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean all the days that he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So if you were a leper in Bible days, the Bible specifically said that you could not be around healthy people. People that were not, you know, they were not affected by the disease. So they had to be socially distanced. So they're the ultimate kings of social distancing. Yeah, the first service, the joke didn't go very well either. But some of you guys got it. But they had to be afar off. So if you put this in your mind's eye, there comes Jesus with his entourage, right, the guys. Now, these lepers, if they knew the story of a previous leper that was healed in Matthew 8 after the Sermon on the Mount, they would have known, wait a minute, this is the guy who healed a leper before. Remember Matthew 8, the guy comes down, he's like, "Hey, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I am willing, be clean." And he touched him. That's a whole study all of itself, because he would have become unclean, if you will. But maybe these 10 guys knew that Jesus had healed previously a leper. So when they are afar off, they see him at a distance, they say, "Hey, Jesus," we're going to read that in a minute, "have mercy on us," that's what we're going to say. So they were afar off, they had to be, they could not be around people. This is, leprosy is also what we call modern day Hansen's disease. It's mentioned in the Bible 68 times, 55 times in the Old Testament, and 13 in the New Testament. And it's an infection that would create sores. It's pretty gross. And it will attack your nervous system. In fact, it will attack the nerves that will send the pain signals to your brain. So therefore, you will not feel pain. So many people with leprosy, their bodies will actually disfigure. their nose will collapse, and they had no, they were numb. So they could put their hand over fire and absolutely no pain. In fact, it said that, you know, they could be asleep and a rat could come and just start eating all your fingers and your toes, and you wouldn't know a thing. So they were numb to pain. It was a very horrible thing. And now can you just picture what they look like? 10 of them, their nose collapsed, all disfigured, their hands. I mean, it was a very, you know, traumatic view to see 10 of them all together. And they had to be far off. I wonder if they were near people, what people will look at them like. Be like, ooh, there is a leper. Ooh, look at his nose. Oh, hey, you're not supposed to be here. You're unclean. What kind of, not only physical damage, but emotional damage this people will have to, you know, bend through. So they stood afar off. And it says, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, the word there, Master, in a capital M, they're seeing the guy that they probably heard healed a guy with leprosy before, and they're from afar off yelling, hey, Jesus, have mercy on us, the 10 of us, help us. They saw hope walk by. They saw healing. They saw their ticket to back to normal life walk by. It's like, hey, Jesus, raise their voices. Have mercy on us. Help us. That could be said sometimes of us. We're in a place of hopelessness. We're hurt. We're numb. The pain is so hard. It's numbing. And you come to a church like this, or you hear about Jesus, say, Lord, help me. You know, I didn't mention this in the first service, but we're in Thanksgiving season. We're talking about thankfulness in a minute here. But think about this. Those that had leprosy, they had no feeling in their pain. We don't like to feel pain. But think about it with me for a minute. These lepers would have been thankful to feel pain. Are you with me? You're like, I feel pain. Good. My nervous system is working. So how everything shifts, right? I look for no pain. I look for an easy ride all the time. Smooth, no drama. I wonder if the Lord sometimes might say, hey, I need you to feel this pain. Tells you're alive. Tells you that you're feeling. Lets you know you're there. So they lifted out their voices. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, Jesus' answer, verse 14 is just mind-blowing. It says that when he saw them, verse 14, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, that they were cleansed. Now, in Leviticus, if you were healed from leprosy, then you would go to the priest. Remember, you had to stay away from people. So by Jesus telling them, hey, go show yourself to the priest, he's implying it's like, well, you would have been healed. Now, I'm the practical guy. If I was one of those lepers, I'd be like, okay, time out, Jesus. Hold on. Rewind. Leviticus, this is your word. Okay, you wrote it. Let's talk about this. Yes, I can go to the priest, Jesus, but only until I'm healed. And last time I checked, I'm pretty messed up still. See, that's me. But Jesus is obviously telling them, they called him Master. He's like, go show yourself to the priest. As though saying, there's something about, you have to take a step of faith here on this one. See, I would have been the guy sitting in the back. It's like, I would have been the one, if there were 10, I would have been the one in the very back. I'm like, we'll see how this works. Because I want to see it. Right? That's me. These guys, this is that they went. Now, Leviticus, I'll read it, 14:1-3, it says this. Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. For the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. So if you were a leper and you were healed, you say, okay, there's somebody that looks like they were healed from leprosy. And the priest will go and meet them outside the camp, and check it out. Say, okay, looks like you're okay, you know. So for them to be told, go show yourselves to the priest, Jesus is saying, you just do what I'm telling you. They're calling me master, Jesus would say, or they call him Jesus master. So there you go. So as they went, they were healed. Now, they went. They were not like me, asking questions. I wonder how many times the Lord prompts me or tells me to do something, and I take a step back. I say, wait a minute. Are you sure you're saying no to this, Lord? Are you sure you're telling me to do that? Now, let's think about this. Let me pray about this, Lord. Let me fast for a week. Really know that this is what you're telling me when it's clear. Lord, I mean, let's think rationally. If I buy this speedboat, it's going to be faster than every boat on the lake. And I can gun that thing down and pray for every single person as I pass them by on the lake. Oh, see, I can use this for your ministry, Lord. Lord, that motorcycle is going to get me through the freeways, 820. I can pray for all those cars stuck there on Monday morning. I can just be praying, two hands, like this, riding this motorcycle. It makes sense, Lord. Why not? Are you sure you're telling me not to get a boat on a motorcycle? Lord, are you sure you don't want me to go on this business deal with this person? Are you sure the money is good? Meanwhile, the Lord's like, nope. Lord, are you sure you want me to invite my neighbor across the street to church on Thanksgiving service? Are you sure? How offensive can that be? What if he thinks that? I think that he's not thankful. Ha, Lord, you want me? See, we can rationalize when we know the Lord is telling us to do something and we don't want to do it. Exhibit A. Seriously. But they went. They followed. They did what Jesus told them to do. And it says that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, there is a blessing in obedience that needs to be noted here. I often tell the youth, because I teach at junior high, I always tell them, look, you can never go wrong with following the Lord in your life, in everything that he has for you. Never. I'm like, you come back to me 20 years later after you walk with the Lord and tell me how bad it was. On the other hand, I always do a disclaimer. Should you choose not to walk with the Lord in everything he wants you to do, it may not go so well because you're walking on your own in a messed up, lost, fallen world. So there's a blessing in obedience. I see it in old people. I see it in young people. There's a blessing in obedience when things don't make sense. Lord, how does this make sense? I would have been like one of the lepers. How does this make sense? No, he forgot Leviticus. What's going on here? See, but there's a blessing in obedience. They made a decision, and they all clearly chose to obey. And they were cleansed. Now, verse 15 says this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. So now one of them, one that the shame has gone, the pain good, the isolation is over, the sickness has ended, one of them came back. One of them returned to glorify and with his voice glorify God. Maybe the other nine were like, cool, we're healed now. We can be around our kids again. We can be with our friends. I can't wait to get this legally settled by the priest. I'm cleansed. I can go back home. I can go back to my town. No more stinky, isolated, unclean, shouting. None of that is over. It's over. Yes, we're so excited. But one of them, it clicks. One of them clicks. It's like, hey. Yes, I got to go to the priest, but my goodness, I'm coming back. I'm going to go say thank you. And he does. It's that one of them returned. It says, verse 16, and he fell down on his face and at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And here we go. And he was a Samaritan. One came back to say thank you. Now, Jesus, or Luke, records for us that he was a Samaritan. So now think with me for a moment. In the beginning of the study, we said Jewish people, Jewish and Samaritans hated each other. Okay? Now we know amongst this 10, at least one of them was a Samaritan. It is interesting to me that when calamity and tragedy strikes, all of a sudden, my preconceived idea, my views, my political views, religious views, they go out the drain. Because we're together in pain. And what you're going through, I'm going through. And I don't care who you voted for anymore, because I'm in pain like you. I get goosebumps saying that. And I don't care what you think and the affiliations, like, because we're hurting together. What if the Lord would allow sometimes just a little pain so we get past the insignificant stuff, the temporary stuff? It's all temporary. And we focus on what really matters, eternity. The Samaritan was hanging out with the Jewish. It's like, we're miserable. I'm miserable. You're miserable. We're at the end of the day, we're both humans. You hurt. I hurt. We're in this together. Interesting to me. And I think that the Holy Spirit put that in there to teach us that. As I said earlier, the anger between the Samaritans and the Jews was so bad, they just treated them so poorly. The Samaritan that came back made a choice to hang out with those Jewish boys. He had to swallow his pride. Does that make sense? To even ask a Jew to help him. And now, furthermore, he's swallowing. There's no pride left in him. He's falling at this Jewish man's feet, face down, saying, thank you. That is amazing to me. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, Jesus is bringing attention to the matter. He's like, wait a minute. I healed 10. There's 1. We're missing 9. We have a 10% gratitude rate in this group. 90% are not coming back. God cares about us being thankful to him. My thankfulness to him is not dependent on the circumstances. He is worthy of my praise, regardless. My mind says, well, you do something for me, then I'm thankful for it. I'm going to talk about what God has done for us here in a minute. But Psalm 92, 1 and 2 says this. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Have you been reading the prayer from Pastor Bill? Cause me to hear the loving kindness in the morning. And at night, after everything settled, you go like, thank you, Lord. That's been cool for me. Every morning, read it. I almost have it memorized, but I'm not going to repeat it because I'll mess it up. But cause me to hear your loving kindness. I love that. But anyway, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:34, I believe this is David when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, said this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Some might say, well, I still don't have a lot to be thankful for. God sustains this world as we know it. Colossians 1:17 says this, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I always tell the youth, you know the Lord is holding this whole thing together. Yeah. The moment he lets go, we're done. Yeah. He holds everything together. So what are we thankful for? Did you drive a car today? Don't tell me there was gas in that car. Yeah. Don't tell me it started. You certainly didn't have breakfast and there was food in your fridge. Yeah. Right. See, I get convicted just talking about it. Because we have so much to be thankful Amen. For. Amen. So much. I often go to this old hymn, when things get kind of weird and when there's a blessing, I either works out or I do well. For whatever reason, I never do well. But when I do well, I go like, wow, this has nothing to do with me. It's that old hymn, Praise to the Lord. And this is my line. I'm letting you into my own lines here, okay? Praise to the Lord who does prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. I get emotional because it's the Lord who sustains us. Daily defends you, protects you. Oh, I did good at work. Praise to the Lord. Oh, whatever. Just praise the Lord. We have no credit to take. Zero credit. If I take credit for what the Lord has done, I'm taking his glory. Not a good thing to do. Remember there in Daniel, I remember which king, he's like, the very God who holds your breath in his hand. I always tell the youth, you breathe. Yeah, do you remember to breathe at night? No. Who keeps you breathing? Oh. God holds his breath, your breath in his hand. And he can let it go any second. We walk around breathing, huffing and puffing. It's like it's God's breath in us that allows us to huff and puff. Think about it. Hmm. 18. Were there not found any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So now Jesus is being like, hey, what's going on here? The foreigner is the one being thankful to me. He's making a point. The nine did not come back. Now, before we go too hard on the nine, which I already did, let's think this through. Because I could be one of the nine. Jesus has healed you. He has cleansed you. He's restored you back to normal life, if you will, from your sin. And then, thank you, Jesus. See you later. Have you seen that before? Unfortunately, I have. Oh, God, I need you. I'm going to church every Wednesday. I'm showing up at 5, Sunday, 7 in the morning. I'm going to walk around 7 times this church and pray. Oh, Lord, you bailed me out. See ya. It's true. I did that when I was a teenager. Lord, if you bail me out of this one, I'm going back to church. He bailed me out. I'm like, never mind. So we can be like the nine. Often, where we just go like, I needed you, Lord. Thank you so much. I'm going back to normal life. It's hard to be like the one. Let's be thankful. We have so much to be thankful. I have learned in my own life that every time I stop being thankful is because I complain. You know what I mean? I know a guy, years ago, at his house, there was everybody for Thanksgiving Day. The food was flowing, the people, everything was firing. And the host of the house had the absolute worst attitude. He made everybody in the house feel uncomfortable and unwelcomed. I know a man. That was me. And my wife is my witness. She's probably like, ah, I remember. I wrote it down. No, I'm not kidding. And I, see, like I said earlier, it's very easy to complain and to be emotional and to have a bad attitude. That's the easy one. But here's the hard one. To say you're sorry. That's when you have to swallow your pride by the scoop. So in that Thanksgiving that I'd rather not remember, but it's about 5 years ago. I was sitting there. I was looking at the entire room, tense. Everybody's afraid. I'm like, huffing and puffing with the breath God gave me in the house he gave me with the family he gave me. And I go like, I need to make this right. I got rebuked. Now, I didn't have pumpkin pie that day. You know what pie I had? Oh, triple stack humble pie. Lots of whipped cream. You know what it takes? My wife is a witness, and my in-laws, they're right here. They remember that day. They're going to throw me something right now. What it takes to walk to each person as the host of the house and say, sorry. I had the big spoon of humble pie. So, it was a lot more painful. See, when you forget how blessed you are. you complain. So don't be a Raul this Thursday. You know what I'm talking about? That uncle, that cousin that comes, you go like, oh boy, there they are. You see their bumper stickers. Oh. You know what I'm talking about? You're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. And you go like, oh boy, they have not changed their ways. We have to pray for them still. There's that sticker. Yep. Oh boy, here it goes. Oh, time to leave now. There comes the... Don't eat humble pie. Doesn't taste good. Still, 5 years later, I have the aftertaste. See, they're laughing because they know. But when I complain, it just means that I've forgotten how blessed I am. It's that simple. I forget that God has forgiven me of sins, and I come down on people for those same sins God forgave me of. How about when you come down on people for sins that you committed after you were a Christian? And the Lord reminds you ever so gently, wait a minute, that was you. Oh, yeah, hey, buddy. We're good, you're good, I've been there. See, we forget. We forget. I forget that every single blessing I have in my life is from the Lord. James 1:17 says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No room to be complaining. Psalm 107:8 says this, oh, that man will give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. We are to give thanks. We are to be the most thankful people on planet Earth. Now, you still go like, no, Raul, I'm still not thankful. Okay, I'll give you one. Okay, you ready? One reason for you to be thankful from today until the day you go to heaven. You ready? Everybody listening? Okay, you're not going to hell. If you're a Christian, you are going to heaven. That should be enough. If God doesn't give us a single blessing past that, which he has, that should be enough for you to be jumping for joy 24/7. That your sins are forgiven, that you have your name written in the book of life, that you're going to be in heaven one day. Amen. That's it. We have so much to be thankful for. Verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So the one who returned was not only noticed by Jesus, it's like, hey, he came back, but he was also saved. The translation there, made you well, is like, you have been saved. You have been saved. You took that step of faith. You obeyed me. You came back. You acknowledged me. Your heart was changed. You are saved. When he showed his gratitude, when he said, man, thank you, Lord, his heart was changed. And the Lord says, you're saved now. Years ago, I was about 22 years old. I worked at a school there in Fountain Valley, California. I was the janitor. And came Christmas time, and the boss came around and he gave everybody an envelope. I'm like, okay. I opened it and it was $50. Now, $50 when I was 22 years old, 20 years ago, that's a lot of money. Especially when I made like $7 an hour. I was so thankful, so joyful. I'm cleaning, you know, because I cleaned the entire place. And I'm cleaning the sanctuary. And I kind of went by hallway kind of like that. And I looked, and there was a lady right there. The place is empty. It's a Friday night. There's a lady kneeling right in the front. Single mom. I knew her. She was just thanking God. for that bonus she got. You know what I thought about when I saw her? This text. I'm like, there's the one. We all got it. No, yeah, I was thankful, I'm sure, but I'm saying it gave me a picture of it. Like, there she is. People walking behind the hall, and she's kneeling and thanking God as a single mom that she got that bonus. I got it. I'm like, what am I going to buy? New shoes, something? She's there. It's good to be thankful. It's good to be thankful. Now, as I was thinking and praying about this story, it became very clear to me. The Lord put in my heart, said, Raul, you're all lepers. You're all lepers. Some of you have been cleansed, but you are in the same boat. You were numb to sin. You were dying slowly. You didn't even know it. You were far from God. You know, when I was a Christian, I didn't want anything to do with church. Every time somebody invited me to church, I'm like, oh, no, they're going to. The last thing I wanted to become was a Bible-carrying, thumper Christian. Pride cheated me of so many years walking with the Lord. I went through pain, unnecessary pain, that I brought upon myself because of my pride. Are you with me? We were all lepers. The Samaritan swallowed his pride. Reached out to a Jew. He was cleansed, and then he was saved once the pride was removed. Amen. As long as there's pride in the way, it cuts the flow. I remember Thomas sharing a few weeks ago, it just came to mind, and he says, you know, when you come to church, he made a point that spoke to me. He's like, oh, I don't have anything to learn from. He said, you already cut the flow. You already cut the flow. It says, shut off. Don't go. I'm like, whoo, that was good. That's really good. Pride cuts the flow. Done. It's severed. It's like, there's no, pride has to go. We were all lepers. So who are we to come down on others who are in the same shoes we were at before Jesus opened our eyes? No one. Until that master, Jesus, came into our world and called us. We were just like these guys. How we are to thank God. Now, to the lost, I don't know if you're not a Christian today, this room. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know if somebody watching online, you're not saved. I don't know if you came to church because you're visiting family and this is what you have to do on Thanksgiving. Say, oh boy. 3 times a year, I'll do it, Mom. Name them. Thanksgiving. You know them. See, you need to repent. I'm kidding. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. Yes, Mom. Yes, Grandma. I'll go with you. Sure, we'll do that. He's going to say the same thing. Be thankful. I can just hear him. I don't know. But if you're lost this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to be thankful for the rest of your life. I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive you of this dying disease called sin. And let November 21st, 2021 be forever marked in your history, in your story, as the day that you were cleansed, but not only cleansed, saved. I want to tell you that. I want to give you an opportunity. Don't let pride cheat you from it. Swallow it. Be a Samaritan. Be a Samaritan. Could this be the day? I don't know. Let it go. Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. Think with me for a minute. Jesus is the great high priest. Go to the great high priest with your filth, with your sin-stained life, with the poor decisions you've made, go to the great high priest. Not the priest, the great high priest, who paid for you and me, who took your sin and nailed it on the cross, who alone can forgive and cleanse you and give you a chance. Go to the great high priest. Look at the picture this text is painting to us. Go to the priest. Yeah, let's go to the great high priest. He's a great priest. He sympathizes with us because he was tempted in all points as we are. Go to the one that formed you, made you, shaped you, knows every single thing about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and still loves you. Amen. Go to him. Did you know that Thanksgiving doesn't end when we go to heaven? Yes. For some reason in my head, I thought that way. I'm like, what was that? That thing is alive. I thought, well, once you get to heaven, cool, we made it, right? Sweet, we're here. And that was, of course, until I read this. Just listen to this for a minute. Revelation 7, 9 through 12 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, here we go, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So think about this. We're going to be thankful forever and ever and ever. Every tongue, tribe, nation around the throne of God. I wonder who that's talking about. And we're going to be, when you get to heaven, when I get there and we see the entire picture. Right now we see through a glass, you know, dimly, dark glass. We can't see, but when we see the entire picture, when you see everything panel, exactly how God wanted it to be for our lives, you're going to be like blown away. And you will not be able to you can't help it. You're just going to be thankful. Oh, Lord, I see how you brought that person. Yes, and that person, and it, wow. How about if you meet the kids that get these boxes? Have you thought about that? What if one kid gets saved from those boxes? Amen. You get to heaven, say, hey, my name is Eddie. It's like, yeah, I know, Eddie, you packed a box for me. I did? Yes, you did. Cool, what did I put in it? I don't know. But Jesus spoke to me through that box because they taught me about Jesus, and I'm here because you went and bought. You see how it's much bigger than this? Yes. Would you be thankful if the Lord uses one of those boxes? Yes. How about the prayers that you prayed that you thought they were never answered, and the Lord's like, well, let me show you. Let me tell you what happened with those prayers. Exhibit A, Exhibit B. This is what your prayers did, Raul. Oh, wow, I never saw him. Yeah, I stopped praying for that. Yeah, you did. You shouldn't have. Watch. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thanksgiving doesn't end here on earth. Yes. It continues forever. Thanksgiving to our God. So, with all that being said, I pray that we are just a thankful bunch come Thursday, but also come Friday and Saturday and 2022. That we keep our eyes on the Master, the giver, the sustainer of all things. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this, your word. I thank you for this opportunity to just remember how good you are to us. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for every person we labor with here at Calvary. I thank you for Pastor Bill, for Becky, the example they are, how hard they work. Thank you for Kendall and Thomas and Danielle and Teresa and Jesse and Abby, so many people here, Lord, that serve you. I thank you for this body that you have blessed, you put together. We give you thanks for your faithfulness, for this service. And as our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, I have to ask, perhaps you are that leper that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be saved. If that's you, either here or watching online, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. I want to pray for you. If you want to be saved, be made whole, go to heaven, wherever you are, I won't make you come up here or anything. I just want to pray for you. If you just raise your hand, you say, that's me. I need Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand right now, wherever you are, and I'll pray for you. Lord, thank you for these, your people. I pray, Lord, that not one of us, be it watching online or here, Lord, will miss out on the blessing that it is to walk with you, that is to serve you, that is to honor you. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, this week. Give us your joy. Comfort, Lord, the brokenhearted. Help the hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's all stand. Jesse will close us out, and if you need prayer, we'll be up here in the front. God bless you.